In an emergency meeting last week, the UN Security Council failed to halt Syria and Russia's bombing campaign of Aleppo, the graveyard of a city whose rubble and civilian death toll have made it synonymous with hopelessness in the Syrian civil war.
4 days of relentless Russian and Syrian bombing has led to a grisly sight. Hospitals are awash in the blood of civilians.
U.S. Ambassador to the UN Samantha Power blamed Russia for what's been called the most heinous act of the five-year war, an attack on a humanitarian aid convoy in Aleppo on September 19th during a ceasefire. Despite eyewitness accounts, the Kremlin has denied responsibility for the attack on the convoy and subsequent bombings. Russia's shocking military support of Bashar al-Assad's regime in Syria, at least in the media, now has a name.
The United States is accusing Russia of barbarism and war crimes in Syria.
The indiscriminate and systematic use of such arms on civilian areas constitute a war crime. Yes, a war crime.
You have said that you are pretty convinced the Russians attacked that aid convoy in which 20 aid workers were killed. If that isn't a war crime, what is it?
Well, Andrew, I think that is the right question to ask.
Yes, although the coverage so far has left little doubt as to the answer, because the definition of war crime is not especially obscure.
When military commanders in the field use military force in a way that violates one of three principles.
David Sheffer is a former United States ambassador at large for war crimes issues.
One, military necessity. Two, the principle of proportionality. Are you using force to achieve your targeted military objective, or are you going way overboard with tons of collateral damage, etc.? And then finally, distinction. Are you actually distinguishing between the combatant enemy versus the civilian population?
Sheffer spoke with us from Nuremberg, where he is the closing speaker for the 70th anniversary commemoration of the Nuremberg trials.
Nuremberg set sort of the gold standard at the very beginning by literally listing certain war crimes, but we've seen a tremendous evolution in the law of war and in what we call international criminal law since World War II. If you look at the issue today with Syria and other conflict areas in the world, there's a much richer body of law to work with than they had at Nuremberg.
When the press is covering any of these events, it sometimes uses almost interchangeably terms like war crimes, atrocities, even crimes against humanity. And I guess they're all not technically the same thing.
Crimes against humanity, that's a widespread or systematic assault on a civilian population with knowledge that you're actually doing it. You don't have to be in warfare for a crime against humanity. You're actually assaulting your own people. I think for journalists, it's much easier just to use the term atrocity crimes without trying to parse out what type of crime was it, because that's going to take years in tribunals to be certain about that. And the real issue should be not is it genocide or not, and should we react if it's not genocide or if it is genocide. The real issue should be we should be reacting because it is one of these types of crimes.
Much as the word terrorism has been opportunistically kind of expropriated by various people for propaganda purposes, ultimately diluting its impact, I wonder if the term war crimes is used too haphazardly, in your view, so as to muddy the waters of what's a war crime to begin with.
There may be something to that, where it's used too casually, too conveniently, without knowing really what has transpired on the ground that would constitute a war crime. Oftentimes you have to wait for courts to actually iron that out. Sure, you can have intelligence services that are bringing you reports every morning, etc. And I experienced this in my government service in the 1990s. Frankly, it is the press that oftentimes, if not most of the time, will bring you the earliest information, the most descriptive information about what is actually going on in the field. Without journalists who are brave enough to go out there and risk their lives, we would be in many cases, quite blind.
I want to ask you about the very complex legal principle known as I'm rubber, you're glue, whatever you say bounces off of me and sticks to you. When British Foreign Minister Boris Johnson accused the Russians of a war crime in the attack on the aid convoy in Aleppo, the Russian foreign ministry came back and said, us, war criminals? No, the UK are the war criminals. Look what they did in Iraq. And suggesting that the United Kingdom has no moral authority to be making accusations like that?
If there's hypocrisy, it should be pointed out. But it is of total irrelevance to the determination of whether or not Russia committed a war crime when the humanitarian convoy was hit on September 19th. But there's a very good possibility that there will be no prosecution of Russian commanders with respect to what's taking place in Syria, because there's no international tribunal, either of a permanent character or a hybrid character, that has jurisdiction over Russia. Now, that's just a reality of where we are right now in the arc of justice, frankly.
And in the meantime, it takes the UN Security Council to authorize an investigation and a prosecution, but the Russians have veto power on the Security Council and therefore impunity.
When we started building the modern age of war crimes tribunals in 1993, no one predicted we would be where we are today with six major war crimes tribunals actively at work, bringing to date about 160 leaders to justice. And that includes presidents, prime ministers, etc., have been brought to justice by these war crimes tribunals. No one imagined that in 1993. Now, justice is a long arc. In Cambodia, we're prosecuting in the joint court between the United Nations and Cambodia, a hybrid court. We're prosecuting senior Khmer Rouge leaders who committed their crimes 40 years ago under the Pol Pot regime. They're in their 80s, and they're being prosecuted. Now, I don't think they ever dreamed they would be.
Ambassador Sheffer, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
David Sheffer is former U.S. Ambassador at Large for War Crimes Issues. His op-ed on the Nuremberg commemoration runs in the Los Angeles Times this weekend.
Coming up, the media ignore third-party candidates at our peril, so prepare to tunnel into Gary Johnson.
This is On the Media.